What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Newell's traipsing the globe, I think, is how Michael Hecht put it last hour. So I'm Dave Cohen in for him. Newell will tell you much more about his travels when he returns. But in the meantime, I will hold down the fort as the legislature winds down this session. Melinda DeLotte was on with us as the session was getting started to kind of preview it for us. And now that it's winding down, Melinda, I asked you to come back and thank you for being here. She's the research director for the Public Affairs Research Council of Louisiana. How you doing, Melinda?
Tired.
Tired, yes. Fair enough. This about this point in the session is when I think everyone's getting a little tired, but this is when lawmakers start their sprint to the end, and all of the stuff that's been languishing and sitting around and unresolved suddenly starts flying at incredible speeds, right?
Correct. This is the last week and a day of session, and it gets sort of crazy. They start going through bills very quickly at sort of breakneck speed because they have deadlines facing them, and so they're trying to get through as much as they can.
And when that starts happening, we start seeing people's agendas becoming more obvious and more clear. Looked like the governor was getting a lot of what he wanted, but just in the last couple of days, we've seen the Senate kind of tinkering with things, including his big voucher program.
Right. So all the major budget bills are currently in the Senate as things stand right now. And so they've been tweaking the bills, making major changes. And I guess one of the big things that they did that everybody's paying attention to is the governor's voucher program that he wanted about $94 million in funding for next year so he could expand it beyond those original students who were in the prior voucher program that the state had. He wanted to expand it to essentially double the size of the program. The Senate took out $50 million. They decided they wanted to keep it to the number of students who were in that previous iteration of the voucher program and that they wanted to see how the transition of those voucher students over to the new LaGator program works before they expand it to include other students. Say that change was made in the Senate Finance Committee. The budget bills are to come up on the Senate floor probably around Sunday. And I believe there are a lot of ongoing negotiations about whether that money could be restored or some of that money could show back up. So I don't think it's settled yet how much money will ultimately end up in that LaGator program.
Is this a result of public school advocates putting pressure on the Senate to not shift more and more money to families to send their kids to private schools instead of public schools? Or is there some other interest involved here as to why we're seeing the Senate scaling this back from what the governor wanted?
I think there are a lot of competing things happening here. I think there are some people who are concerned about taking money away from public schools if they send more children to private schools. I think there are some concerns that some senators wanted to see how this program operated with the existing children who were already voucher students in the state before they expanded it further to make sure that they, you know, were confident in the direction of the program. I also think
is it really working? Are these kids who are now out of public schools and in private schools actually performing better? And is the investment well worth it? I guess that would be the
right
question.
And I mean, and I think there's also this overriding concern that without certain checks and balances on this program, the size and price tag of it could grow exponentially, because they've seen in other states that similar programs have grown very large very quickly, and they are concerned about the impact on the budget and sort of creating outsized expectations for what people can assume this program will be able to provide financially. The state obviously has depending on who you talk to, the state has a lot of money or not enough money always, but there are constraints on what they can afford to do. And I think a lot of senators have concerns about the financial implications of letting this program grow too fast, too quickly.
So right now they've cut $50 million from the program that the governor wants spent on it. In the meantime, senators, at least for the time being, and we know there's still 8 days to go, things can change, but they've increased spending in the Medicaid budget, and I think some people are surprised by that. And they've increased it by $150 million, right? Or at least $100 million.
Well, there are a lot of increases in different parts of the Medicaid program that are largely in reimbursement rates for doctors and hospitals, essentially the money they receive for taking care of Medicaid patients. A lot of that is federally financed. And they haven't necessarily gotten federal approval for some of the rate changes that they are proposing. So the money may be in the budget, but until they get federal approval for some of these things, that they can't spend the money until the feds sign off on it. Like I said, a lot of it is funded with federal money and not necessarily with state money. What I will say is, you know, there is a broader concern about happening at the federal level, and will any of the changes to the Medicaid program impact the budget that they are creating right now? And quite frankly, no one is really sure. So they're kind of moving along as though there are no substantive changes to the Medicaid program coming down from Washington, and they're just going to keep going as they have been. And that's a real question mark long term of whether or not they're building, you know, spending into a Medicaid program that may face pretty significant like adjustments from the federal spending side. So for now they're working through the process as if they have their traditional Medicaid program that they've always had. So I think more to come on that in the future as well, but I don't think they're going to have any solutions for the federal question mark by the end of crafting this budget in 8 days. I just think people should be aware that, you know, they're crafting a budget under some assumptions that may not hold depending on what Congress does.
This also at least feels on the surface counter to the governor's agenda.
Well, I mean, the Department of Health, which is overseen by the governor's administration, was involved in the request for additional funding and the negotiations over all of that funding. So nothing is necessarily being done to the Medicaid program that isn't in consultation with the Landry administration.
Okay. And I know there have been concerns expressed, particularly about rural hospitals and rural doctors and not maintaining the current level of spending overall, which means increasing the state's portion could really impact them negatively. So we'll wait and see what happens on that. The Senate also added some money to the Louisiana Department of Government Efficiency, or whatever the actual name is, but the state's version of DOGE, right?
So the Senate added $1.5 million into the governor's Division of Administration, which is supposed to pay for 10 positions to help find efficiencies in government. My understanding is that request was that money was added as a request from the administration. So there's been a lot of attention on it. In the grand scheme of the budget, $1.5 million is probably a small amount, but it is interesting to see new positions being added and money being added ostensibly to find efficiencies in government. That kind of seems counterintuitive to some people. So it's gotten a little bit of attention in that regard.
But then that is very much in line with what we're seeing in D.C. through the Trump administration. We're seeing a similar effort here in Louisiana from the Landry administration.
Yes, and what you've seen is some agencies already engaged in trying to find their own efficiencies and ways to shrink spending. I feel like every administration comes in and we see a new round of discussions about how to make government more efficient. Obviously, there's a lot of attention on it this time because of what's going on in Washington. But it does seem to be cyclical in terms of what happens in Louisiana, where you get a new governor and then they start talking about ways to make government efficient. I'll say one of the big things that's hanging out still in the last 8 days of session is the discussion of how and whether to reorganize some of the operations of the Department of Transportation and Development. And I know that is a big priority of the governor, that he's looking for ways to speed up projects, speed up road and bridge work. And he's still working with the legislature on it's three or four pieces of legislation that would, you know, increase privatization efforts, which try to restructure part of the Department of Transportation. Those bills are all in the Senate right now as well. They passed the House. They're in Senate Transportation. They actually get a hearing later today, or at least they're scheduled for one. So I know that's a big reorganization and an effort that the administration is looking at to try and find efficiencies and to improve outcomes. But where that will go, I think the Senate is interested in making a lot of changes from what the House tried to do. So we're not really sure where that's going to end up.
Also, a lot of talk about ethics and campaign finance issues that have yet to be resolved in this session.
Well, the campaign finance bill, which would essentially, it would do a whole slew of things about reorganizing what kind of campaign finance expenditures are allowed, donations are allowed, disclosures are required. That bill got out of a Senate committee this morning. It was heavily amended there. But the ethics bill that would create new hurdles for the ethics board to investigate potential violations and to heavily restructure how ethics violations are investigated and prosecuted, that bill has made it through both chambers and has one more vote on the House floor that could come as early as today to send it to the governor's desk. And obviously a lot of people have raised concerns about that ethics bill in particular because it adds some new hurdles that seem to at least raise the possibility that the process could be more heavily skewed to the person accused of ethics violations instead of trying to find a balance between the ethics board doing the investigation and the person accused of a violation.
We're talking with Melinda DeLotte, longtime journalist, now the research director for the Public Affairs Research Council of Louisiana. She keeps her thumb on the pulse of what's going on in the legislature now with a week and a day left in the session. When we come back, we'll ask her if there are any surprise bills that did not pass or bills that did pass that she wants to highlight. If you have any questions about bills that we've been talking about over the last weeks and months, text or call us on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line at 504-260-1870. We're back with Melinda DeLotte after this, and then we're opening it up to the lunchtime buffet for anything you want to talk about on WWL.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Getting caught up on the legislative session as it winds down. Melinda Lotof-Parr is with us. Melinda, every year we have all these previews of all of these bills that legislators want to highlight before the session starts and as it's getting going that address a myriad of issues, and the vast majority of them never pass and become law. Any that you want to highlight that have passed or have failed or are still alive that people may find interesting?
Well, I think there were some things that were flying under the radar a little bit. At one point, the House had passed some legislation that was going to attempt to cut the state sales tax rate by 0.25% and cut the individual income tax rate by a similar amount. Those bills had very large price tags to the state treasury. So when they got to the Senate Revenue and Fiscal Affairs Committee, which is their tax committee, just sort of quietly ended those tax cuts. Senators in particular have concerns about, they just did a massive tax restructuring in that November special session, and they don't really know the full implications of what they've already done. Economists have warned them it'll take a few years to sort of shake out what actually happened in terms of what income is coming into the state treasury. So the Senate just quietly ended those tax cut bills without really much discussion. There wasn't even a hearing on the individual income tax cut, and the state sales tax cut just got removed from a bill without really much discussion at all. So if anybody was looking for a significant tax cut beyond what happened in the November special session, they should end those hopes now.
Because it's not happening and will not happen over the next 8 days. All right, I'm getting texts about some specific bills, and I hope you can answer them. If you can't, that's fine. Any bills to address the decrepit technology at the OMV and the constant failures of the OMV computer system?
Well, yes. Actually, the Senate just added some money. I think it's around $27, $28 million into one of the budget bills that is designed to provide some financing for computer system upgrades for OMV. That is a big issue for a lot of legislators, so I suspect that money will stay in and make it to the governor's desk.
Yeah, we talked a lot about the bills that the governor has already held a signing ceremony for that he says will reduce auto insurance rates by as much as 10%. Others still skeptical because some of the other legislation could counter those. So we'll wait and see what happens with our auto insurance rates. What are you hearing about banning handheld cell phones?
That one's interesting just purely because that bill has been proposed and killed somewhere along the process for years at the Capitol.
Yeah, like 25 years.
Well, it, definitely for the last several years running, I feel like, consecutively. But because it's now considered one of the things that supporters are saying it could help lower car insurance rates in some fashion because dozens of other states have something similar, that bill looks like it might be on track to passage finally. It's got, I believe, one more step. It's in on the Senate floor and needs to get passed there, but it did already pass the House. So it looks like it's got a better chance this year than it has in the past.
All right, may finally become illegal for the supporters who have been fighting for it for years and years, decades, that it'll be illegal to hold a phone while driving a vehicle in Louisiana. We'll wait and see. Credits for solar panels, someone wants to know. Is there anything on that this year?
Not that I know of, not that I've seen anywhere, at least nothing substantive. I can't guarantee there's not a little bit somewhere, but that doesn't register as a big debate that has come up, so it can't be much of anything.
Someone else wants to know, the last 2 years has been an effort to get rid of statewide inspection stickers for vehicles. It's my understanding, and tell me if I'm wrong, that bill is dead for the session again.
Yes, that bill has failed again. It often has to do with the fact that the money raised from those inspection stickers helps finance state police operations. And so every time that bill comes up, the question There are questions about the value of the inspections, but then there are also questions about the money generated and how it would impact state police to lose that funding. But what I do know is that bill is again dead.
Yeah, and I know that the supporters this year tried to just transfer that so we'd pay more for our vehicle registration to make up that loss so state police would still get the money they want. But there was a big push by the inspectors who say they rely on that income to make a living. So, again, that one's dead for the session. Somebody else wants to know, is there anything to address the fairgrounds and the machines that have been found to violate current law and that could lead to Churchill Downs leaving Louisiana, not only from the fairgrounds, but the OTB sites across the state? Heard anything about that?
That one is not on my radar, but I will tell you a lot of the sort of local issues don't necessarily rise to the level of getting as much attention in the building as they do in the areas where they're focused on. So I haven't seen a lot on that. That doesn't mean there's not something circulating.
All right. Anything on marijuana? Somebody else wants to know. It always comes up.
That comes up annually, kind of like that hands-free cell phone bill. There, nothing is substantively changing on that front. There's been nothing to either loosen the recreational marijuana, to allow recreational marijuana. Nothing has passed on that front, nor will it. And there has been nothing to substantively change the operations of the medical marijuana industry in the state this session either. So there may be some minor changes, you know, on regulatory issues, but there is nothing substantively changing on marijuana.
Well, Melinda, I know you've got to get your thumb back on that pulse, and I know that there are committee meetings, and then the floors will be having votes today. A lot going on in these last 8 days. Anything else you want to share with our audience as we get an update from you on this legislative session?
Just that they need to be paying attention because things can change very quickly in the final days and hours of a legislative session. Bills that have died can be resurrected. Things can be tacked on to other bills, and financing can change very quickly in budget bills. So just don't stop paying attention.
All right. And we know you will not. And I'm sure we'll be checking with you again. And it's always those conference committees that I always fear, because you just never know once they go to conference. And it's that small number of legislators from both sides, from both the House and the Senate. And they can pretty much put anything they want in those things and then send them back to the floor with just hours left in the session. And sometimes you wonder if everybody knows what they're voting on.
Oh, I often wonder that at the end.
Thank you, Melinda. We appreciate it. And I know we'll be talking to you again soon.
Thanks so much.
Melinda DeLotte, Research Director for the Public Affairs Research Council of Louisiana, paying attention to what's happening in the legislature, because we cannot keep track of every bill, every moment, every day. And we know that the public can't do that. So we appreciate her joining us.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.